7th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. An incident here in the life of Christ where he's dealing again with the scribes and the Pharisees, his constant complainers. Let's start reading in Mark 7, verse number 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. He's quoting directly from the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions. Selah. Those of you who are saved. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't set aside the word of God to keep your own traditions. We're all guilty of that. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, these are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We'll stop reading. We're going to preach today on man's heart problem. Man's heart problem, it's a general thing that covers every person. It's a universal problem. Every man who is born into this world, the likeness of Adam, has a heart problem, and it's a serious heart problem. And Jesus is rebuking these scribes and Pharisees for what they were trying to persuade his disciples to do, and finding fault with the fact that they ate with unwashing hands. He's not saying it's wrong to wash your hands. He's saying don't teach that somehow if you just wash your hands and wash the cups and wash the pans, if you just do these certain things, you'll be right with God. Because that's not true. When they talk about washing the hands, and I noticed this in verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft. That literally means to roll up their sleeves past their elbows. And they washed their hands thoroughly. And they taught somehow that that was going to keep them clean before God, because they went through these certain motions, these certain cleansing things that they did. And yet they ignored the real problem. That's why they had so many traditions. And he's condemning them for the traditions that they put in place. And he gives one example. The traditions that they blessed and considered to be very important was directly against the commandment of God. Now the world does the same thing, and churches go right along with it. And you know, it's contrary to what God's word teaches. They set aside the word of God to keep their traditions. It happens two or three times a year. They ignore what God teaches us, and their traditions become hallowed, and you dare not go against their traditions, or you will also be derided, and they'll find fault with you. But we need to understand this. It's not what man sets up as being okay that really matters. It's what God approves. It's what God teaches. I want to preach to you today about a problem that is very rarely dealt with in the world we live in. It's a heart problem. And Jesus described it very clearly in our text. You know, many times, and you've heard of this, you go to a doctor and they're just men. They do what they can. But many times I've heard people say, well, they just got me in and out and gave me a pill. You know what's the problem with that? They never took the time to find out what the real problem was. They dealt with the symptoms instead of dealing and finding the problem. Well, that's what the Pharisees were trying to do. They established some customs that they thought would make them clean before God, and Jesus said, not so. You got a heart problem. When you read verse 18, again, and he saith unto them, are you so without understanding? And I put that in a, pose that to you in a question today. Are you so without understanding? Do we not understand? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It may make him sick, but we're talking about a defilement that goes beyond the grave. We're talking about something that defiles him eternally. We're talking about something that's much more serious than a sickness. And Jesus is dealing with this because it entereth not into his heart. God made us in such a way that what we eat affects us and keeps us healthy and keeps us able to move about and do the things we need to do. And he also made us so that our body can purge those things that could hurt us. But these Pharisees and scribes had made it an absolute religion that when you come from the market, you had to wash your hands up to the elbows. And because his disciples did not do that, they found fault. And he's teaching them and he's teaching us a great lesson here. We need to understand, beloved, and I think one of the reasons that people are not being saved in the day we're living, they don't know what the real problem is. You talk to them about sin and they, so what? They don't understand how serious it is to have this kind of a heart problem, a problem that goes beyond death. And you don't have to have a degree from a college to understand these things. They're simple. When Jesus said in verse number 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. What comes out of his mouth? What comes out of his actions? What he does that started in his heart. And because of what's in his heart, it comes out. That's what defiles a man. That's what makes a man unclean before God. He shows us the disease is inward. What a sinful nature does to human beings. It's an internal problem, something inwardly that you can't see. But Jesus is going to separate the natural defilement, which if you don't wash your hands, you're apt to get sick. We understand that. But what does that have to do with our standing before God? The Pharisees had made it a doctrine. They set it on the level with the law of God. Verse 20 says, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. It comes from within us. I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 6 and read just a small portion of this sixth chapter and see how in the very beginning, when God had made man, in verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6, let's read this together. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, what is the problem here? Why was there great wickedness in men? What brought this about so quickly? God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Day, night, year after year, same problem. It was a continual thing. It was also a universal thing. There were none exempt from this. Some may be worse than others, but this sickness affected every one of them. Now let's read further, verse 6. He repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God. First time we find grace in the Bible is right here. Judgment is coming. Men are exceedingly wicked. Every thought and imagination of their heart is evil continually. But one man finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and through that man, God saves mankind. As one of the men said in the message the other day, everyone in this room is a direct descendant, one way or another, of Noah and his family. God propagated the human race through this man and his family. We all can trace our genealogy back to Noah and his sons. But why did God destroy all of mankind except these eight people? because they had a heart problem, and it was serious. It's described in the Bible as a sinful nature. We believe in total depravity because we read Genesis chapter 6, and we read Romans chapter 3, and we read many, many other scriptures in the Bible that teach us. Isaiah said, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no unsoundness in it. We are totally overcome by sin. From within. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart, that imagination means their purpose, their intentions, the things they were framing in their mind to do. It was bad, it was disagreeable, it was malignant, it was giving pain, it was bringing misery. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And God put a stop to it. But he didn't stop Adam's race, did he? No, because he saved Noah and his three sons and their three wives and Noah's wife. So we still have the likeness of Adam, and we still have a heart problem. Now, the world doesn't want to hear this. Day after day, year after year, time and again, we see it, if you'll open your eyes. Jesus said, don't you perceive? Can't you not? Can you see these things all around you? We talk about them, and we sometimes are aghast at them. How do these things happen? But they go back to the same root, the same problem. Man's got a heart problem. And it fouls his soul. You see, when Jesus talks about out of the heart, he's talking about that part of us that God created where we love, where we hate, where we discern, we make decisions. That controls us. Out of the heart of man proceed what? What did he say? Ooh, this is a terrible list. Beloved, it's God's word, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries. We see it all around us, time and again. I heard a man on the news last night talking about he'd been married 7 times. I mean, it's just a common practice in the day we're living. Fornications. All of these things about sexual perversion are under the heading of fornication in the Bible. People trying to be something they're not, and doing all kinds of weird things. In the Bible, they're under the heading of fornication. Murders. Heard about any murders lately? Seen anything in the news about murders? Why do they happen? Why do they keep happening? Do we never learn anything? We have massive educational systems. Spend billions upon billions of dollars year after year, and people don't seem to ever learn. Why? Because they got a heart problem. It's in there, and guess what? It's going to come out. But by the grace of God and but by the work of the Holy Spirit on that heart, it's going to keep coming out. From within the heart, we reason, we love, we purpose. It's the seed of our spiritual life. We defile ourselves from within. We're made in the likeness of man. That's why we are different from the rest of creation. We can reason, we understand, we have perception that the rest of creation does not have. Water can't wash out that heart, purge it, and make it clean. Soap can't get to it. These 13 things that are listed here, and I counted them, originate within the heart. From the words of the Lord Jesus, we see the teaching of total depravity. Everyone born into this world has the same potential. Now, they don't all realize it, but the potential is there because they all have a heart. And in that heart resides the same things we're talking about here. It's just a matter of whether or not God restrains it. The Bible teaches us God does restrain it. Let's look in Romans 3 and verse 10. This is not a new thing, as Paul, when he wrote to the saints at Rome, says in the third chapter of Romans, in verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, he's quoting again the Old Testament, and that's found, of course, in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3. We'll read one of those in just a moment. This is not Paul's doctrine he just made up. He's quoting the Old Testament scriptures. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not the first one. Now, boy, mankind doesn't want to hear that. Well, I'm not as bad as this one or that one. True, you may not be, but you've got the same potential. And only by the restraint of God will you not exercise even what they've done, and even worse. Verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Why not? You've got a heart problem. The heart of man does not desire to seek after God. It's not there. They're all going out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Could it be any more conclusive than that? Not one person has ever been born, has ever desired to follow after God. Not one person that's ever been born can do good in and of themselves. Because the heart in them that Jesus described will always do the evil. It's there. Let's read Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. This is the Psalm of David. He wrote both of these Psalms, but I'll read just the 14th one. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. This is the prophet David when he said to us through the Holy Spirit, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what the heart of man has arrived because of his deceitful condition he's been born into. There's no God. They're corrupt. They've gone out, they've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Now look at this. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. I fear that there are many people that have professed faith in Christ that have never understood just how ugly their sin is to God. What a terrible condition they were in when supposedly they trusted Christ. Therefore, they don't have much concern about it. They don't have much love for God. It really means not a whole lot to them. But David said the same thing in Psalm 53. And Paul quotes that in Romans 3. In Romans 3, in verse number 9, he says this, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they're all under sin. Under the dominion and control of sin, there's none that doeth good. There's not one good in any man from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He is totally depraved. He has no way to approach God. He has no way and no desire to even want to come to God because of his heart condition. But he also says in Galatians 3 and verse number 22, Apostle Paul writing to the churches of Galatia in the third chapter in the 22nd verse, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All. Now, what does the world think of this? What do the scholars think of the teaching that there's no good in any man? What do the poets and the philosophers and the sociologists and all the men that have learning, what do they think of the Word of God? They think it's foolishness. But if they would open their eyes and look around them, they'd see the evidence in every next door neighbor, in every city, in every country throughout this world. It's obvious. There's no good in man because he's got a heart problem. Now that insults the reasoning of mankind. It upsets their understanding of what they think the world ought to be. What they've been working for since the beginning of time to make it better and better and better. And yet, what's happened? Be obvious and be honest. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. Why? Because they've never dealt with the problem. And only those who deal with the problem ever have any peace about it. It upset the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus told them this. They didn't like it at all. To think that they couldn't remain clean by washing their arms all the way up to the elbows and washing all these pots and all these pans and all these tables and going through all these things that they had added to the law called their traditions, which Jesus blistered them. If I can use that word, he condemned them boldly and completely. That they were still lost because they had a heart problem. If you want to have the right relationship with God, you got to deal with the real problem. Don't deal with the symptoms. Now you can, if you happen to be a person prone to drink, you can quit your drinking. But you're dealing with a symptom. You can quit your cursing, but you're dealing with a symptom. You can quit the drugs, you can quit everything you want to quit. But you're only dealing with the symptoms. You got to deal with the heart. Matter of fact, you got to let the great physician deal with your heart. You got to let the Holy Spirit deal with the problem that is really causing you so much hurt, causes so much misery in this world, everywhere you turn. You see, they thought by washing the pots and the pans, you know. Why do they keep adding these things? You ever think about this? They'd add this. Well, we got to wash this. Well, maybe we better wash this table. Why do they keep adding all these traditions? It's been said that the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees exceeded the Old Testament law, all they'd added to it. You know, I thought about that young man I preached about a few weeks ago. Remember when he came to Jesus and asked him, what good thing must I do that I might have eternal life? And he said, gave him the law. He said, all these have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? You know why the scribes and the Pharisees kept adding these things? It never really dealt with the problem, and they knew it. They didn't feel clean after they washed all those pots and pans and their arms and all. They still didn't feel clean, so they added something else. That's man's way. That's the natural way. That's the way Cain did. And they're still doing it today. But beloved, you always lack something until you deal with the real problem. And let me say, I preach the gospel here time and time again, but I'm not preaching you about a little problem. I'm preaching you about a deadly problem that is so deep and so hard to overcome that you can't do anything about it except realize your condition. I'm going to die, and I'm going to suffer eternally for these things that I've done and things that I've not repented of, that have not been cleaned out of my life. I'm going to die in my sins, and there's no peace and there's no rest until the great physician comes to you. And because you're desperate, there's an awful lot of people come down the aisle to church that are not desperate. They know they need something, like the Pharisees. They'll add baptism. Well, maybe if I'm baptized, I'll feel better. Well, still need something. Maybe I'll join a choir. Maybe that'll help. Maybe I'll start witnessing. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll add this. But until they really have had their heart dealt with, until they've understood the seriousness and the depths of the problem that they have in this heart that God gave them when they came into this world, a heart that's prone to sin, a heart that loves sin, a heart that enjoys ungodliness and uncleanness, until they come in a desperate condition to the Lord Jesus Christ, like the old leper, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's what sin should do to us. It should bring us to a desperate state to where we know that if something doesn't happen far beyond me, I'm going to continue to have this pressure on me, this uneasiness. And the only relief you'll ever find is when God deals with your heart. Because the heart's the problem. Sinners, by their thoughts, by their reasonings, by their meditation, by their desires, everything in them just produces sin. It can't produce anything good because the heart's bad. When you look at the world we live in and realize we fell in Adam. When Adam fell, we fell. Because we came from Adam. We came through Noah, but we came from Adam. It goes back to Adam. We were born in his likeness. And we have a heart that Adam had after he sinned. And the heart's the problem. But isn't it wonderful as we read this story here in Mark chapter 7? Isn't it wonderful just to stop and realize who is telling us this? Who's revealed all these things to us? At the rebuke of the scribes and Pharisees, he opens up and tells us what the real problem is. And you realize this man didn't have the same heart we have. He did not have the nature of Adam. He was born of a woman, but he had a heavenly father. He never had an evil thought. He never looked upon a woman in the wrong way. He never did one thing in all of his life because he had the heart of a God. He was God and he was man. God was his father, Mary was his mother. And this same man that reveals our terrible condition and our heart is in such a wretched state that it ought to bring us, as the old leper came and fell on his knees before the Lord and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The only one that can ever deal with your heart to help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dealt with that problem at Calvary. That's why we preach how that Christ died and he was buried, he rose again. That's why we preach the gospel. He can deal with your problem, but he's dealing with it through his word. He's dealing with it through preaching. And he preaches through men that you come to Christ. You're in a terrible condition, come to Christ, and you can be made clean. You can't do anything about it yourself. Don't listen to the psychologist. They're as bad a sinner as you are. Don't listen to the doctors. They're just like you are. Don't listen to any man but this man. Brother Dan preached, as he usually does, really exalting Christ. But this man eateth with sinners. This man receiveth sinners. We sing that song sometimes. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er again. This man who revealed these things to us, who cut through all the confusion and all the hypocrisy and all the traditions and got down to the real problem. It's a heart problem. Your heart's wrong. That's why you think the way you think. That's why sometimes you think things you know you shouldn't. It bothers you. You even think them. But you got a heart problem. And you need help. No doctor on this earth can help you. But the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. He's the one that revealed all these things to us. He's the one I preach in this pulpit. He's the one I urge you, I lead you in any way that I possibly can to come to him, trust in him. Put your soul in his hands and he'll make you clean. Every whit. As he told Peter, every whit, you'll be clean every whit. We've all got a heart problem. We still suffer the effects of it even after the Lord makes us new, because we still got a remnant of Adam in us until he gives us that new body. So we still have to deal with those bad thoughts and the things we do that are sometimes dumb. But aren't you glad Brother Golly preached a wonderful message? I wish all of you could have heard it. Maybe some of you did, but we love him because he first loved us. He loved us before we even knew about him. He loved us with an everlasting love. He's still calling people today out of sin and darkness and a ruined life and misery and pain as sin always brings. He's still calling. And he calls through the preaching of his word. He invites, come unto me. I'll give you rest. That's our message today. I hope if you're here and you're lost, you understand how bad your problem is. It is so bad that nobody can help you. It's so bad it will send you into an eternity as a lost man where there'll never be any help, never be any hope. Bow your heads. Father,